Hello, this is Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth, podcasting from historic Hyde Park, New York. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author. I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. And my focus will be on the love, the forgiveness, and the acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously. Now, it's very clear from the Bible that God loves us. John 3:16, a very familiar scripture, says the following: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's love is demonstrated for us not by words, but by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. It was our sins that separated us from God, and now through Jesus, that separation's been removed. God's love for us is so unique that it is said that God is love. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 4:7, it says the following: "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." In other words, God doesn't just simply love, he is love. He's a definition of love. And the love that he has for us is not a sentimental or emotional kind of love. His kind of love is unconditional. In the Greek, it's called agape. And this kind of love is unearned and undeserved. His love is a gift of grace. Now, I've said all of that to make this point. Interpersonal love involves communication. For instance, in a human love relationship, the deepest communication is an exchange of ideas about living your life for each other's good. This loving communication is a dialogue, which means that as one speaks, the other listens, and then the other speaks, and then the other party listens. This is genuine communication. It is a dialogue between two. It is not a monologue, one person talking only. It's reasonable then to believe that God wants to communicate with us. As he speaks to us, we should, of course, be listening. And when we speak to him, we know that he is listening. Because God is spirit and we have a spirit, our communication with God is spiritual. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, it says the following: "God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." See that? In spirit and truth. Now, when we hear the word worship, most people think of music, as in worship music. But in truth, worship of God means to surrender or submit yourself to him for his direction in your life. Romans 12, verse 1 says the following: "I beseech you," or "I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Now, many translations say reasonable worship. And so, see, worship is about surrendering to his will in your life. Now, God knows what you need. Because God is omniscient, which means all-knowing, and the fact that he loves us, we understand that God knows best what we need in order to live the abundant, victorious life. And who doesn't want to live the abundant, victorious life? As we mature in Christ, we begin to recognize what pleases God and what displeases him. We begin to understand that God is at work through his Holy Spirit to make us more and more like Jesus in character. Thank goodness we don't have to wear robes and grow a beard. After all, Jesus is God with flesh on. Jesus represents God for us, and Jesus has given his life as an example of what unconditional love looks like. He's also given us his words, which are found in the Bible, so that we might have a handbook, if you will, for godly living. Now, the way this godly living opens up to us is through faith, because it is by faith that doors to the spiritual life are opened. We learn that the Bible is filled with God's promises to us. Some say there are over 5,000 promises in the Bible. But every one of these promises is received by faith. Now, faith is not just believing with your mind. Faith is acting or doing what you believe has been done in the spirit realm. Listen to the definition of faith found in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so very clearly, the things not seen are the spiritual things of God. Now, an appropriate question here is, how do I get that kind of faith? Well, good news here. The Bible shows us the way. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And I want to interject that that word is the Greek word rhema, which we'll have a little more to say about a little bit later on in this podcast. Now, hopefully you can see how important the Bible is. Number one, it contains the message of the gospel or the good news of salvation. Two, it gives us objective directions for our life. In other words, the Bible teaches us what pleases God, and it applies to everyone. That's what makes it objective. Number three, it reveals what God has promised us. As I said earlier, some say that there are over 5,000 promises found in the Word of God. Number four, it shows us that the only way to please God is by faith. And then he tells you how to get faith. And number five, God can use it to speak to you subjectively for your situation or circumstances. In other words, God can use the Word of God. God should speak to you by His Holy Spirit to deal with the situations and circumstances and decisions you have to make in life. But remember, faith is the key to the spiritual realm. Hebrews 11:6 says the following, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, pursue him, follow after him." Receiving Jesus into our lives means that there has been a spiritual rebirth, and that we are now destined for heaven. Our soul or mind is being renewed, and that takes a process of time. See, spiritual rebirth is instantaneous, but catching up to that spiritual birth can be a different matter. It can take a lot of time or a short amount of time. It really depends upon your willingness to press into His Word and learn to hear, this is important, the voice of God. After all, God's Spirit lives in you. As a matter of fact, God says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that. It's almost like we're bringing our minds and our souls into alignment with one another so that our body, or I should say our soul, is catching up to what has happened in our spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says the following. This is a beautiful verse. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And so in an instant, you've been made new. You've been born again. You've been rebirthed. But the reality is that we carry a lot of baggage, and we need to renew our minds to God's way of thinking. Now, as Christians, we're all eager to hear the voice of God in our lives. We want to walk in His blessings. We realize that God's ways and His thoughts are higher than ours. And because we want to see change in our lives, we want to learn how to hear Him more clearly. Now, let me recap what I said in the last post about illumination. One of the ways that God speaks to us is through the illumination of Scripture. Now, what this means is that while you're reading the Bible, a Scripture verse or phrase seems to, I have to use this word, speak to you as a personal message about a question, a thought, or a decision. The word illumination is used because it's as if the Holy Spirit causes a scripture to be a light to our direction. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 119:105, it says the following, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You see, we don't have to walk in darkness. We can walk in the light of Christ. Now, with illumination, one of the realities is that you can't walk around with the Bible in your face throughout the day hoping for illumination. But the Holy Spirit can also bring to remembrance something that you have read in the past. And when this happens, it's called a rhema word. Let me explain. The Bible or scriptures is often referred to as the Word. Now, the word can have several meanings in the New Testament. It can stand for the living Word. It can stand for Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and verse 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Now, who else can that be but Jesus himself? So in this sense, the scripture is clearly equating Jesus with the Word, the living Word. And then, of course, the word Word can also stand for the scriptures themselves, as in the Word of God or the Bible. And when the word Word is used to stand for the Bible, you need to know that there are actually two words that are translated from the original Greek of the New Testament as Word. And they are Logos, that's L-O-G-O-S, and Rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Now, both of these Greek words are translated as Word in English. You really can't tell which word is being used in the English version of the Bible. A really simple, and I do mean simple, definition of the two words are, here we go, Logos is the written word, Rhema is the spoken word. Now, keep in mind that the Holy Spirit wants to build the character of Christ into your life, and he does that by using the Logos and the Rhema of God. Let's look at the word Logos a little bit more closely. The word Logos is the objective truth, and what that means, it applies to all believers of Christ. They describe the character and the nature of God, what pleases him and what doesn't. It describes his faithfulness to his people, and the fact that he wants to bless us. The Rhema word is subjective. Now, by that, it's still truth, but now it applies to a particular situation or circumstance, perhaps a decision that you as a believer is facing at the moment. So objective is general, subjective is particular, if you will. Now, here's some facts. We're promised by Jesus that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach us all things and bring to, here is an important word, remembrance, all the things that Jesus has taught and said. We find that in John chapter 14, verse 26. The following verse in Romans 10, 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that word, Word, is translated from the Greek word Rhema. Also in Matthew 4, 4, Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," or rhema, "that proceeds from the mouth of God." So as you can see, rhema is spoken, whereas logos is written. And then in John 6, 63, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words," or rhema, "that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So you see, the rhema word is spiritual and life-giving. And so when you're reading the Bible, you're reading the Logos word. When you're in a situation that requires an answer, a solution, an encouragement, or a decision, and you recall a scripture, now that's a key word, you recall it, and it's providing direction for you, that is a rhema word. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you through the recalled scripture. Now, obviously, the more of the Logos word that you put into your mind and your heart, your spirit, the more the Holy Spirit can draw on everyday life. Hence, the importance of spending time in the Bible every day. Now, I know how difficult it is to spend time in the Bible every day. You have all the responsibilities of life in a very, very busy culture and society today. But I want you to know that there are times when we read, and it's happened to me, have to confess this, we're bored, or we're distracted, or we can't remember what we read 10 minutes later. You know, our minds can be 1,000 miles away. Nevertheless, your spirit is absorbing the spiritual food found in the Word. You see, your spirit never tires. Your spirit never gets sleepy or bored. Don't underestimate the power of the written word, logos, to come back as a spoken word, rhema, by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a personal example, a very simple example of the rhema word. Let me lay a little foundation here. The Holy Spirit wants to build the character of Christ into our lives. Now, a long time ago, before I entered into the ministry, I was a school teacher, and I was the department chairman, and I was one of those few people that always felt obligated to speak whenever there was a pause or silence in a meeting. The result was that people rarely listened to what I had to say. Then the Holy Spirit would help me catch my tongue, if you will. And he did that by recalling a scripture I had read in Proverbs 10, verse 19. And what it states is that talking too much leads to foolishness, but a person who is silent is viewed as wise. So I decided to trust the rhema word, and I began to listen more and speak less. And over time, as the scripture promised, I found that people would wait for my input, and most of all, they valued it. Now, that's, of course, a simple example, but the rhema word works if you will trust the Logos word. As you continue to spend time in the Bible, you'll find the Holy Spirit applying his rhema word to you in more and more situations in everyday life. As it says in 2 Peter 1:3, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. We have the tools. We have his Holy Spirit. We have his word, which is alive. And so I just want to encourage you, and I look for God's blessing upon you as you allow the rhema word of God to speak to you throughout this week. Until the next time, God bless you. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. If you like our show and you want to know more or check us out, you can find us on our website, which is PastorVicsNuggets.com or simply PastorVic.com. Please do leave a review, comment, share, and we, again, God bless you and look forward to seeing you again.